Well, let's start out talking a little bit about the beginnings of this year's Dayton Music Fest. How far out do you guys start planning the event and getting ready?
Well, I mean, actually, I mean, we're always talking about it and thinking about it. We're already have been talking about next year, and the 10th anniversary is coming up in 2 years. So we're, even looking at that a little bit. So honestly, in a situation like this, we're trying to think long term. I mean, I think from the outside, maybe it doesn't seem like the festival's changed or grown that much over the last few years, but I think it's gotten tighter. I'm really proud of the lineup we have this year. It's not a lot of super big names, but we've got some really great bands, ones that people have heard of, like Motel Beds, Vanity Theft, Southeast Engine, and bands like that. But we've also got a lot of groups, Michael Perkins and Goodbye, his new act is really good. I mean, Abertooth Lincoln has never done it before, and they have a new record out, and they're doing it. So that's really exciting. So I really am excited, I mean, honestly, about the bands we have this year. And I think it's a from top to bottom, a pretty good lineup. And we've got stuff going on at Midwest Outdoor Experience on Saturday, which we've never done before. So it's nice to kind of be able to partner with Five Rivers Metro Park, which is a big player around town, and they do a lot of great stuff. So to have them on board with us, along with the sponsors we've had for a long time, like Heidelberg and Fifth Street Deli and Ty9, and we've got some, well, we got WISO, and City Paper has been really supportive, and they came on in a bigger way this year than they have in the last couple. So that's been nice for us. And we have Ertl Publishing for the first time, which is nice to get a little extra money because we put that money back into getting bands. So that's kind of the goal, is to keep bringing music in.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the fact that you guys are doing a stage at Midwest Outdoor Experience, and that's a new thing this year. It always seemed like in the past we had these two events that were going on, usually the same weekend in tandem. What was the decision to go ahead and partner and kind of work together this year?
Well, to be honest, I'm not really sure who broached the subject, but actually Kyle Melton, who I organized the event with, was sitting down with Five Rivers Metro Park, and it came out of a meeting that he was having through his job at the Dayton City Paper. So just we thought it would be a good way to tie it in, let people know about what they've got going on, but also the thousands of people that come through there to get a chance to see what we have at Dayton Music Fest. And we have four bands programmed during the day Saturday, and I think they give a good taste of what we have going on throughout the festival.
Seems like you'll have an opportunity to maybe get in front of some folks who aren't as familiar with the Dayton music scene by being a part of that event.
Right. I mean, that's our hope, to try to tap into a new audience and bring people in, because we really do believe in the talent in this city, in this region, and we want people to come out and see it. And our goal is to get as many eyes and ears in front of these bands as we can. And that's, why we talk to people like you, and why we, get people on the social network to push it and whatever we can to just let people know, hey, this is a great thing. There's a lot of talent around town. For the $10 price, you can get in and check out a lot of bands. Some you've heard of, I'm sure some maybe you haven't, but I can guarantee you that you'll be impressed with it. Maybe if it's not your type of music, I can't say, but I think you can't deny the talent is there.
How do you guys go about putting together the lineup, insofar as kind of who's playing with whom at what venue? It seems like you always have this great knack of finding things that flow together well and fit really well together, but yet are diverse enough to where you can either roam around to a bunch of different venues or stay in one place. Is that a difficult process, or do you find that that just comes really naturally with the amount of bands we've got?
This year, actually, I think it came together easier than it had in the past. We were able to go through the submissions pretty quickly and come up with the bands. And I mean, Kyle's been booking shows for so long that, I mean, he already has a good sense of what bands work together. But I mean, we just really kind of broke it down, and it took us a few tries, and we had to, move some things around. And then once we got it in place and thought it was pretty good, we find out that, that so-and-so is in three bands and they're conflicting. And we had to several times had to adjust that for people like Ian Kaplan, who's a super busy guy and a lot of really good bands, which we didn't realize when, actually didn't think about it when we put them down originally and accepted them for the festival.
Now, the festival gets started on Friday night with a show at Omega Music First, and that's a free show?
Yes, it is. That's free, all ages, and it's First Friday, so, you know, people that are out and about, you know, again, this is a way to kind of reach out to people that don't necessarily come out to shows or know about Dayton Music Fest or just can't afford money, you know, to pay the money and want to come out and see some music. Again, we got, you know, we got four great bands playing there. Southeast Engine is going to close out the night there before we move over to Canal Street. And they've got a little secret little surprise set that'll be different than what they're doing during the normal set on Saturday night. And trust me, it'll be a lot of fun. And we mentioned Goodbye before, but they're going to kick it off at 5 o'clock, and I'm pretty excited about that. I think they're a really strong new band, and I think if anybody hasn't gotten a chance to see them, it's a really good excuse to check them out for free. Omega Music is a great place to actually see bands. You can get right up there and check them out, and it's free, and should be fun. Shrug is going to be playing there, who is a longtime local favorite, and we're glad to have them on board. They haven't played in a few years, so it'll be fun to have them playing that day, along with Joe Andrel in the 1984 Draft, who Joe, which I'm pretty sure is the only person that's played it every year since it started. So
nice.
Yeah. So
very nice.
Whether with Father's Day or one of his various Joe Andrel projects, he's done every one. So, he's kind of our good luck charm, I think, in a way. So we're glad to have him. He's a super talented guy and doesn't play out quite as much as he used to. So it's always a treat to have him out there playing.
It's fun that we've gotten this far. This is the seventh?
Eighth year.
Wow. So this is the eighth year. And I have, you know, a memory of something that stood out to me every year, you know, for the past 7 years. How do you feel about the festival becoming this Dayton institution? I mean, it feels like it's still, you know, in a lot of respects, it feels like it's still so new. And yet here we are 8 years in.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty amazing that it's gone so fast. I mean, time flies, like they say. I mean, but it really does. I mean, I still remember the very first one vividly, which I went to just strictly as a fan and covering it, you know, for the newspaper. But I had a blast that night. It was immediately one of my favorite nights of the year, and it continues to be, even though it's a lot of work for us. I still love it, and I'm super excited this week. I'm just have a lot of stuff going on, but I can't really contain my excitement for Friday and Saturday and seeing all this great music and seeing people that, you know, sometimes you only see a couple times a year. So it really is kind of a big social event beyond just great music throughout the night, both days. But
And there always seems to be something special. I know one of the things I'm really excited about this year is the fact that Captain of Industry is going to be playing.
Yes, yes. That's very, you know, we're both very excited about that. We've both been longtime fans of Captain of Industry. I mean, they're one of my favorite Dayton bands of all time. I mean, they're just amazing guys and a great band, great songs. So we're excited that they were able to put it all together. I mean, Nathan has a new kid and Kevin's out on the other side of the country, but they were able to pull it together and I know that's going to be a great way to close out Saturday at Blind Bob's.
Looking ahead, are you guys planning on doing anything throughout the rest of the year? I know this past year you were really involved in a Record Store Day in the spring.
Right.
And it's cool to have a festival presence there. Are you guys looking to do more things year-round or kind of stick with the one big bang in the fall?
Well, we'd like to. I mean, we have some other ideas. We've been, I guess, in council with some other people around town. We've had meetings. You've been involved in some of those. Just to talk to some people who are smart about music and passionate about music and to come up with some other ideas that we can do to make the festival better without detracting from the music. And we have some pretty cool ideas. Some we wanted to do this year, but it was just too soon. But I think if we start working on them now, next year will be very cool. And I think even the 10th anniversary is going to be even better. So, I mean, we just, you know, we want to keep growing it, but not get too crazy. You know, not to pick on Midpoint, but, I mean, there's just so much going on there that, you know, are you going to see the Walkman? Are you going to see Motel Beds? I mean, you know, that's not a bad problem to have. But at the same time, you know, you might want to see both of them, but, you know, we try to minimize that as much as possible. Yeah, you're going to miss something good if you're seeing a band, but we kind of stagger it so people can hopefully see as much music as possible.
I do remember a couple of years ago, there was somebody who set a record who made it to every show for at least 2 minutes.
That was me.
Was that you?
The first year I was able to do that because it was all self-contained in the Oregon District. And Canal Street wasn't even involved that first year. So I was able to do that because they, you know, the band start on the hour or the half hour. So you got two bands starting at a time at that point. So it was pretty easy to do. But I mean, the festival quickly outgrew that. But I think, you know, you could come pretty close to seeing a lot of the bands, especially on Saturday night. You know, Canal Street's involved, and that's a little bit of a hike, but it's not that far. I mean, it's a nice walk, and especially they've opened things up over there, and it's you know, just a little trek up there. And if you want to drive, it's not hard to find parking because baseball's over, and there won't be anything crazy going on over there, I don't think. So, but, yeah, I mean, you can still see a lot of great music. We've got 34 bands total over the 2 days. We got the two free shows, and then everything else takes place, you know, at Canal Street and then in our bars at – in the Oregon, plus South Park Tavern on Saturday, where we do the early show. And that's always fun, too. It's nice to keep them involved because they've been a good supporter of local music over the last couple years. And it's a way to get bands playing there but not competing with the stuff that's going on at the Oregon District and making people go to Canal Street and South Park Tavern and fight too much, because we want to minimize that as much as possible and keep it manageable for the band so that, you know, they can have as many people see them as possible.
How do you, or what would your advice be for somebody who's looking at the lineup, which is at DaytonMusicFest.com, and is just like, oh my gosh, this is so overwhelming. There are so many people. As a music fan yourself, and as a festival goer who has, you know, done this for years and kind of knows how to map this out, what's your advice to somebody who's like, I don't even know where to begin? How do you map your route to go to a music fest? Trade secrets.
Well, that's tough. I'm not really sure. But, you know, we do have a mobile app this year, so people can go to the website. And if they want to put that up, bring that up on their phone and maybe try to take a peek at what's going on. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, you can't really judge a band by its name or anything like that. And we've got, you know, a variety of things. We've got garage rock, Americana. We've got DJ Ruckus Roboticus, who is a genius unto himself, playing for the first time, and we're excited about that, supporting some of his new singles that he's got going out and things. And but the music runs the gamut. I mean, we've got punk, we've got garage rock, we've got indie rock, we've got pop, we've got dancey stuff, we've got crazier stuff. I mean, we've got Abertooth Lincoln, who maybe is undescribable, but awesome.
Genre unto themselves.
but so great, and they're like doing it for the first time. So, I mean, I really think there's a little something for everybody. I mean, I think my advice would be whichever club you're closest to, just poke your head in there and see what you think. I think you'll like it, but if you don't, there's three other clubs right close by, or Canal Street Tavern right around the corner, where you can hop over and find something else. And I guarantee you that you'll find something you like within all this music.
Thanks for being here, Don.
Thank you, Juliet.